Father, we want to just come before you again before we look into your word. And many of us are carrying burdens. We're facing decisions. There's trials that we're going through and difficulties that we face. And sometimes we come in here so clouded and confused. Sometimes it's hard to hear you. Hear you speak to us through your word, and I would pray that you would help us to set aside those things that would interfere with that. That we would have a hunger and a thirst, a desire to hear from you through your word, that you would instruct us and to teach us, for we know that all scripture is given by your inspiration. And it is profitable for us to help us to become mature and complete in this life as we serve and honor you. So guide and direct, and we'll praise you for what you accomplish. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure all of you have heard the story of the three little pigs. And of course, it's not just the three little pigs, but it's also the big bad wolf. Now, those of you that are visiting with us, I want you to know that you can see we really get into some deep theological stuff here. But the story of the three little pigs is really a lesson to be learned through that little story. You know how it was. I'm sure these three little guys were finally coming of age, and they said, you know, it's time that we get out there and experience the world. You know, we're men, and we're ready to tackle it, and we're ready for whatever comes. And mom says, now listen, boys, I know you think that you've just got it all together, but there's a big bad wolf out there, and you better be careful and watch out for him. And you know what they said? The soundbite didn't work. All right. The soundbite said, yeah, whatever. But anyway, the first little pig, as they're traveling along, the first little pig came along. He met this farmer. And this farmer had a load of straw. And the little pig said, hey, how much you got to have for that straw? I'd like to build myself a house. And so he and the farmer made a deal, and he bought the straw, and he went to work and built his house out of straw. Doesn't that look good? Well, the second little pig, he and the third were going along, and they came across a farmer that had a load of wood, a load of sticks. And so the second little pig said, hey, I would like to buy these sticks from you and build myself a house. And so they made a deal, and he bought the sticks and made himself a house of sticks. But the third little pig, now, he listened to mom a little closer. And he kind of talked to his brothers and said, guys, have you really thought this thing through? I don't think this is really wise. And they said, get out of here, you know. Well, he met this farmer that had a load of brick. And so he decided that he was going to build his house out of brick. And so he made a deal with the farmer and bought his load of bricks and built himself a house. Well, it wasn't long, and the big bad wolf was, you know, his belly was growling a little bit. And he began to think, you know, pig roast would be really nice right now. And so he went looking, and sure enough, you know, he came to the little pig's house with a straw, and he knocked on the door, and he said, little pig, let me come in. And from inside, the voice said, not by the hair of my titty chin chin. And so the wolf said, then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in. And he huffed, and he puffed, and he blew his house in and destroyed the house, and the little pig lost everything and escaped by the skin of his teeth. Well, the wolf was still pretty hungry, and so he traveled a little ways, and he came to the house of sticks, and he knocked on the door, and he said, little pig, let me come in. And from inside it said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And so the wolf said, then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in. And he huffed, and he puffed, and he blew the house in, and the little pig escaped. Now, why are you laughing at me? Ethan, why are you laughing at me? Listen to the story. So that didn't work, and so he traveled on his way, and he came to the third house, and he knocked on the door of the little pig with the brick house, and he said, little pig, let me come in. And inside he heard, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And the wolf said, then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in. And he huffed, and he puffed, and he blew, and he blew, and he couldn't blow the house down. Now, there's a moral to this story. And the moral to the story is, build with material that will stand the test. Now you say, what in the world does that have to do with us? Well, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said this. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work everyone has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And so Paul is just warning us as well that there is a day coming when our works are going to be tested. Our lives are going to be tested. We will stand before him and give an account, and he's going to find out what kind of material we used in building upon the foundation of our salvation to see if we get reward or we get loss. And that soundbite didn't work either, so we're moving on. J.I. Packer said, "Do you believe in divine judgment? By which I mean, do you believe that God, who acts as our judge? Many, it seems, do not. Speak to them of God as Father and friend and helper, one who loves and loves us despite all of our weakness and folly and sin, and their faces light up, and they're on your wavelength at once. But speak to them of God as judge, and they frown, and they shake their heads. Their minds recoil with such an idea. They find it repellent and unworthy. And yet, as we study the scriptures, it makes it very clear. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And so our works are going to be tested." So we've been working our way through 2 Peter, and I want you to take your Bibles and turn there, if you will. 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to wrap up the book today. And through this book, Peter has been trying to encourage and exhort and remind the believers of how they need to live in these days in which we live. Last week, we were looking at the very fact that one day Jesus Christ is coming again, and the scoffers will come, and they will say, yeah, whatever. And Peter said, listen, that's what they were saying when Noah was building his ark. And for 100 years or more, Noah was preaching to these people and saying, listen, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. God is going to destroy this world. And they said, yeah, whatever. And the flood came. And when that first drop hit, people began to scramble and to wonder, and they were filled with fear. But it was too late. It was too late. They had the opportunity, and they refused. And Peter just reminds us that the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to be very much the same way. And he hasn't come because he's patient. He's not willing that any should perish. He is trying to touch the hearts of and lives of men and women and boys and girls, trying to show them that without his salvation, in their sins, they are separated from him. And that separation will cause eternity separation. But he loves so much that he desires. He sent his only begotten Son into the world to save them, to deliver them, to give them forgiveness of their sins that they could spend eternity with him. And so Peter's been sharing that and working with us through that. And so last week we were looking at the first part of chapter 3, and he reminds us that he is coming again. And we ended at verse 10, and that's where I want to start. And in verse 10 of chapter 3, he said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. And the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. In verse 11, he's drawing a conclusion. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be? In lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn, but according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent. Be diligent to be found in him without spot or blemish, and at peace. and count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as our beloved Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters, which he speaks in them of things, of these matters. These are some of the things that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Now, what Peter is saying here is, listen, since we understand these things, since we realize that one day this world is coming to an end, one day we have to stand before the judge, one day we have to give an account, one day everything that is here is going to be dissolved, it is valueless for all eternity, how should you live? Well, the answer is, I should live in light of that. The very fact that I can't take my home with me, my car, my bank account, my investments. There's only one thing that's going with me, and that's my life. When I stand before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, the one who put me on this earth, He created me in my mother's womb, just like He created you. And while He was creating us in our mother's womb, and we were given birth and brought into this world, we were brought into this world for one purpose and one purpose only. What was that purpose? It was to love and to honor and to glorify the Creator. He is the giver of life. He's the giver of breath. And every time that heart beats inside your chest, it's a gift from Him. And the very fact that one day this life is going to come to an end, and none of us know when that's going to be. It may be His coming again, or it may be just that we're taken out of this world in some manner, and we have to then stand before Him and give an account. And so Peter says in verse 11, he says, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be? In lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. He said the heavens or earth is just going to be dissolved, and one day there's going to be a brand new heaven and a new earth. And so in verse 14, he says, therefore, recognizing these truths to be true, that this is all going to be dissolved. He says in verse 14, therefore, beloved, since you're waiting for these, be diligent. Give your heart to. Apply yourself. Work at this. Strive to be individuals, he says. Be diligent to be found in Him without spot or blemish and at peace. What's he getting at? We're all sinners. Yes, we are. But our sins can be forgiven. Whosoever shall confess their sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But once we've come to know Him, we've been set free from the bondage of sin. We've been given His Holy Spirit to live within us, to guide us, to direct us, to open our eyes to biblical truths. We're no longer slaves to sin. We've been set free. We choose every day now who we're going to serve. The unsaved don't have that choice. The unsaved, their eyes are blinded. Their father is the devil. They sin by choice. There's no desire in them to really please and honor and glorify the God who created them. But for those of us who know Him, when we realize the extent that He went to in order to save us, He could have given every one of us exactly what we deserve, but He loved so much that He gave His only begotten Son. God became flesh, dwelt among us, and went to the cross of Calvary and died for me. And He died for you. And Peter is saying, when you begin to grasp what God was willing to do to you, how important you are to Him, the love that He's extended to you, what person ought you to be but one who lives for Him and honors Him? And Peter says, to be without spot or blemish. I think spot may have to do with the character, who we are, when no one's around. Maybe blemish has to do with our reputation, what people think of us. Both are important. But first of all, we ought to be true before God. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows the motives of why we do what we do. And he knows whether we're true or fake. And Peter is just saying, listen, if you understand that one day this whole thing's going to be dissolved, this earth is going to be destroyed, you need to live in such a way. In the Old Testament, we read, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and the evildoers will be stubble. Pretty graphic, isn't it? The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. And so Peter's encouraging us to be diligent. This isn't the first time. As we worked our way through this book, when we were in chapter 1, Peter said, I want you to make sure. I want you to make sure that you are truly a child of God. Don't miss this. Religion doesn't help anybody. Being a church member doesn't get you into heaven. Being baptized only gets you wet. There's only one thing that will truly get you in right relationship with the Heavenly Father, and that's to be underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross of Calvary, and he gave his body. His blood was shed for our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And Peter said, I want you to make sure that you know him, not just about him. This is not just a story, as Rachel said in her song. He is more than a story. It's more than just history. This is the fact that he loved us so much that he was willing to go to the cross of Calvary that I could be his child and you could be his child. And so Peter said, I want you to make sure. I want you to be diligent. Make sure you're his. And folks, I want you all to make sure you're his. Every one of you. And the only way that you can really know is just to back up and examine what it is that you're banking on. What it is that your hope and trust is in. And if your hope and trust is in anything that you have done, it's not enough. Your hope and your trust can only be in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Your faith needs to be 100% in him and what he did, because he is the one who satisfied the just demands of the holy God. He is the one that paid the price that sin could be granted. He is the one. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. And so Peter says, make sure. This is not something to roll the dice here. This is not something to be drawing straws at. You need to make sure that you really are his child and that your faith is in Jesus Christ. And my hope is that each one of you have done that. But here, Peter is saying, I want you to make sure, I want you to be diligent to be found in him without spot or blemish. And then he also said to be at peace. I think that has to do with being at peace with God. And when we're without spot and without blemish, when we're living lives that bring honor and glory to him, we do. We are at peace with him. But I think he wants us to be at peace with one another. You know, John says, how can you say you love God and hate an individual that's created in his image? You see, my relationship with him is very much based on my relationship with others. And so if my relationship with others, if my relationship with my wife and my children and my family and my church family and people I go to church with and my neighbors, if there's something wrong here, there's something wrong here. And so he said, I want you to be really diligent. Of course, we tell the kids that come to Awana on Wednesday nights that they're to be diligent. They're supposed to be diligent to make sure that they are approved of God, to be a student of God's word. And I share with the children in Sunday school that God has given us his Bible for two reasons. One, he's given us the Bible so that we would know him. Without the Bible, we would not know him. Oh yeah, we could look at creation. We would be without excuse, but creation doesn't really tell me a whole lot about God. Just that he's pretty powerful. So the Bible opens up the door and the light, and I learn about God and who he is. But the second reason he's given us the Bible is so that we would know how to live. In fact, after we close the book here on 2 Peter this morning, we're going to be going back into the Old Testament, and we're going to be looking at the Ten Commandments. You ever hear of them? Our culture doesn't like them, but we're going to be looking at the Ten Commandments. But that's what he's done. And so Peter says, I want you to be diligent. I want you to give your all. Then the last verse of chapter 3. I didn't read it earlier, but let's read it now. In verse 18, he says, but grow. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a lifelong process of growing and maturing. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to him be glory, both now and the day of eternity. Amen. So as Peter closes his book, this is his second epistle that he's written. He's writing to believers who are going through some very tough times. They're scattered abroad. They're being persecuted. They're having to leave their homes, their families. They've lost so much. And he writes to them and challenges them and encourages them to be strong, to have the faith in Christ. In his second epistle, he's reminding us that there's going to be a lot of false teachers, a lot of false prophets. There are going to be a lot of people that come along and will promise you pie in the sky. But we need to stay listening to the voice of truth, that one song that we heard. And he says, listen, it may be tough now, but there's a day coming when Jesus Christ is coming, and he will be the judge of judges, king of kings, lord of lords, and all of us have to give an account. And so he says, now that you know these things, it should change the way I live my life. Change the way I think. Change the way I act. Change the way I react to individuals. And so Peter says, you know these things to be true. Now come on. Come on. Can't change yesterday. It's over with. Forget it. Maybe you need to make an apology, but you can't change it. Or last year, or last week. But you can change today, and you can change every tomorrow that we have left. You know, there was only one little pig that took Mom serious. Just one. The other two thought they had plenty of time, not a worry in the world. Maybe they thought the big bad wolf was just this cuddly teddy bear. You didn't have to worry about him. There was only one who took Mom's advice. The question is asked about each of us. Am I? Are you really preparing to meet the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Judge of all mankind? He's coming. This world's going to be dissolved. And there are some who think it's going to happen tonight with the blood moon. I don't know when it's going to happen. But the truth is, it's coming. It is coming. And we are 2,000 years closer to the end than what Peter was when he wrote this. And if he was telling the folks that he was living with and encouraging to be ready, all the more I need to be ready. And so do you. So, we know it's going to come. We know it's going to take place. And so if I know this, what sort of person ought I be? Bow your heads with me in a word of prayer, would you? All heads bowed and all eyes closed. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, first I want to just to ask, do you know that you are a child of God? Are you sure of that? If today was your last day, or if this blood moon meant anything, and God said it's over with, would you be ready? Would you really be ready? Would you know that you would spend eternity with him? If you're not sure, Just remember, his patience is salvation. He has been patient with you, maybe to bring you to this point, to where right now you just cry out to him and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I am sorry. I have rebelled against you, but I realize that Christ went to the cross for me, died in my place, and I want to be forgiven. And I know he's my only hope. Put your trust in him. But for those of us that are believers, we are to be diligent to make sure that we're living in such a way that if he was to come or if I was to die, I could stand before him unashamed. And as he burnt my works, my labor, my days, my time, that I would still be rewarded because I lived for him and honored him and glorified him. I didn't live just for me and for the moment and for this world, but I lived for him. Pray to him, talk to him, recommit yourself this morning. Maybe it's time for each of us to do that. Father, Peter has just really hit us where we are. It's so easy to be casual in this life and to forget that the time that we spend here is so short compared to eternity. And our rewards and our punishment has to do with what we've done with this short span of time that you've given to each of us. And Peter tells us we need to be diligent in loving you and serving you and honoring you and glorifying you. And I would pray that you would work in our hearts and our minds, that each of us are willing to stop and to evaluate and to make the changes that are necessary. Father, there be someone here this morning that does not know Christ in a personal way. They're not sure of their salvation, where they would spend eternity, that you would work in their hearts and minds. You would draw them to you, and if they need someone to talk to, Lord, I would be glad to sit down with them. There are others here that would be glad to sit down with them. There are Sunday school teachers that they could talk to. Oh, bring them to the point to where they're sure. And their salvation is found in Christ. And Lord, those of us that are believers, oh, it's so easy to get caught up in this world, in this life, and so tangled up in the cares that take place and around us. And we spend all that we have. We're consumed with this life. And we forget about preparing for eternity. Jesus told us to not lay treasures up here, but to lay our treasures up in heaven. For it is our desire to hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And so I would ask that you would help each of us this morning to take the time to examine, to make the changes that are needed, and that we will be disciplined when we leave here to live and to honor for you. And we'll trip up. We all will, every one of us. Oh, but may we be quick to jump back up and brush ourselves off and get on track again. And may we continue to strive towards that mark, to press towards that high calling until we finally stand before you face to face. Thank you for just being with us this morning and speaking to us through your word, and I pray that you would guide us and direct us, protect us from the evil one. And we'll thank you for what you accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen.